Now, you might have seen them before on your morning commute to work or driving around the state. Ghost bikes, handmade crosses on the side of the road, a telephone pole embellished with pictures, mementos, and the name of someone who's passed on. A lot of us might continue without too much of a thought, but our guest has been slowing down to take a look and take photos of these roadside memorials as part of his project called Not Forgotten. Thomas Ferrella is a Wisconsin-based multimedia artist and former emergency medicine physician. He uses his work to comment and respond to social and environmental causes. He's been taking these photos of roadside memorials all over Wisconsin and in Chicago as well for over 20 years. Thomas, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What caught your eye? Because we've all driven by these things. What made you take notice and take pictures?
Well, I think the first thing that I noticed was the beauty. The fact that these sites are very colorful, they're moving with the wind, the passing of the cars, and that initially attracted my eye. But I think really there was one site in particular, and it involved a young woman that was killed by a car, and I happened to be the physician that took care of her. That also happened to be in my neighborhood, so that was something that I was witnessing on a daily basis in my daily commutes.
Now, yeah, as we said, you're an emergency physician. You treated one of the people who died in this accident. It seems like this brings it full circle for you in some ways. You've treated accident victims, and now you're seeing how the families are dealing with this afterward.
Yes, but it's on their turf. And being an emergency physician, I'm used to being in control. But this project has taken me out of that, even though it's trauma related. Now I'm seeing grief very personally in their home territory, so to speak.
Can you talk about some of the different forms these memorials take?
One of the things that's very interesting about these for me being an artist is I consider these folk art sites. These are created by people with no artistic training. They are building these things based on a very deep sense of grief, and because of that, they become very personal. There's no overlying architect deciding what goes where. Nobody's coordinating colors. It's all extremely personal. So it becomes poems. It becomes messages to the victim. Maybe their favorite beverage, usually alcohol-related, a half-smoked cigarette of the brand that they smoked, tennis shoes, teddy bears, etc.
And these are usually on the site where someone has died, often in a traffic accident.
Well, correct. But a good 10 to 15% of these sites are actually murder sites. Mm. So, yeah, we think mainly traffic incidents. And, yes, that is true. Most of a motor vehicle crashes, some involving pedestrians and, of course, bicyclists, but also heroin overdoses. Murder sites, senseless violence, trauma from the workplace. It runs the entire gamut.
Now, how do you find these? Do you just drive around looking? Do people know that you're looking for them and let you know, hey, I saw one over here?
There's a bunch of that happening. I'm getting messages a lot of times from police officers who know me and know the project, and family that have... that know of the project, and a lot of it is just serendipity, stumbling upon them while I'm moving about the state.
And now you've got this collection of photos, and as you say, these are folk art, and now you're taking the lens and framing them in a way. How are you trying to capture these and pay tribute to the families who created these?
The obvious thing is to take a picture of the entire site, just to document that. But for me, the power comes from stopping, looking, and being up close and personal. And a lot of the images, if you do go to the site, will show these very personal images. A lot of them seem extremely pedantic to someone like you or myself, but you know there's meaning when you really take a look, like the half-smoked cigarette or a particular figurine. Or a basketball. You know, a very touching memorial is one on the west side here in Madison, and it's a cross, and it has the word dad on it, very big and prominent. And on this cross have been pounded small little McDonald toys, obviously from the children.
Have you talked to some of the families who have made these?
Yes. And in fact, the Chicago Project, we talked to almost everybody that was building the memorials. In Madison, it's a little bit more difficult because the memorials can be very isolated, very rural. It's hard to find a lot of times who actually passed on that site. So a lot of these sites, even though I've done some research, are unknowns. And of course, because of the vast nature of the landscape, it's hard to figure out who exactly built them and who was responsible for them. So yes and no.
Do these come and go, or are people maintaining them over time?
Both. They are very transient in that nature takes its toll. And in fact, the patina of the natural elements really lends, in my mind, a very an incredible timeless beauty to these places. I also found out through the Chicago Project that the police were removing them as fast as they could be put up, because retribution violence was occurring at the site of the memorial. So they can be very ephemeral. And in fact, the longest one I have is up near Plain, Wisconsin, and that's been maintained since the early 60s from three high school students that died in a traffic accident there.
What does this make you think about the way we grieve?
Well, I think that's changing. I look at grieving historically like everybody else. It's, and I talk about this when I give a talk about this project, is that grief tends to be in a three-box system. People die in the hospital. We're told the rules there. They get seen at a funeral home. We're told the rules there. And then they get placed in a cemetery, and we're told what the rules are there. These memorials have empowered people, and I don't know exactly where that comes from, though I'm very curious and have done a lot of reading, but it empowers people to declare a ordinary piece of real estate as being sacred. And they're doing this outside of the state government, and they're doing this outside of religion, which I find very fascinating.
It's a good place to leave it. Thomas, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thomas Ferrella is a Wisconsin-based artist and former emergency medicine physician. He's been taking photos of these roadside memorials all over Wisconsin for his series, Not Forgotten, Wisconsin Roadside Memorials. You can see his photos and where they were taken at wisconsinroadsidememorials.com.